Katie Fargo Ahern, Long Island University, Post Campus.
However, in reading both Comstock and Hawks and McKee's work, what I found myself questioning was not how to introduce audio essays or voiceover, but how to introduce students to uses of sound that do not necessarily draw on the spoken word, voice, or discourse. In other words, as McKee points out, sound is composed of speech, music, sound effect, and silence. I wondered how students could be given exposure to aspects of auditory rhetoric devoid of verbal discourse, and what approach would act to level the playing field for sound effect and music, and how can this leveling be achieved while acknowledging different access to skill sets and vocabulary regarding non-discursive sound. Furthermore, while I've been using the term teaching explicitly, I do not mean to suggest a paternal or pastoral model where the instructor necessarily feels a superior level of access to concepts of sound. In fact, Anderson et al. Note that for multimodal composing as a whole, respondents, quote, reported being largely on their own as they planned, implemented, and assessed multimodal learning experiences for students, end quote. And as Comstock and Hawks note, many instructors feel unprepared for composing using sound. Thus, my question of leveling the playing field of sound for students is as much a question of instructor access to sound as well. It was not until much later that I developed the metaphor of tuning the sonic playing field, as opposed to leveling, as a way to address both the question of explicit classroom exploration and access to skills. This metaphor of tuning is one that I will ultimately discuss below.